This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I didn't even realize this until I read the rundown last night. And I thought to myself, I should have realized it because I knew who they drafted. They didn't draft anybody offensively and in the skill positions in the first five rounds. And I think that says, well, we don't have no room. Well, we don't know where we're going to put you. Yeah. I think that's a great position to be in for the offense.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing because you look at, as you said, they drafted two offensive players, but they were tackles.
Yeah.
So no skill guys. And that says a lot to me. I mean, you get arguably the best quarterback or the second best quarterback or whatever in football. You know, you've got one of the premier running backs in football. You got a good receiving core now, you know, and you got a great tight end room. So what are you going to fill?
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome to be in that position. Jeremy, they had no needs skill position-wise on offense.
No, and look, it'll be cyclical. That'll change from year to year, but this was one of those years where you can go in and attack, and we felt like they had a lot of things. Nobody's completely set, right? I mean, you have either holes to fill or you need depth in case you get those holes and injuries happen. And I feel like everything, they didn't reach for anything. Maybe you make the case they reached for a kicker, but I wouldn't even say that because there was one drafted in front of them. Mm-hmm. And if you had your eyes on them, why wait and try to say, oh, we can get him as an undrafted free agent right, or in the seventh? Just go take him.
What if he desired to be someplace out west if you waited for him to be undrafted free agent?
Yeah, we wouldn't have Fruit Loop.
Yeah, Sarah Ellison says she wants to go with that.
Yeah.
She's all about that.
I don't know that any grown man likes being called fruit. But anyway, I mean, look, talking about skill position players, it's nice to go into a draft knowing that you don't need a wide receiver, knowing that you're not worried about grabbing a running back, even though that's not even something that most teams are concerned about. But tight ends, I'll throw them in with the skill positions as well. I mean, catching the ball, but you have three of them here. Granted, next year you're going to be looking for some depth, I assume, with all three guys coming up.
When's the last time, Ed, you said the wide receiver room is perfect?
I don't think ever.
With this team. It's perfect. It's everything you want, you have.
Yeah.
You got a lot of options.
You get a lot of options finally. Yep.
Hopefully these guys can stay happy because you know how those diva wide receivers are. Let's go out to Baltimore, get trippy.
Hello.
What's up, hey, man, hello, man. Hey, I know one thing, but Sean better keep my name out of his mouth with some butterfinger ass bobbing. Look, well, I called in and Joe said I can't have ran about the Orioles. Y'all know how I get. I can pull the whole show. But about the Ravens, right? I'm going to be real with you. You know what? I watched the assistant head coaches, right? And I'm going to be real with you. The wide receiver showed up last year, but that goddamn Greg Lewis, he don't have no, like, enthusiasm. Like, it was this one video last year. I watched how Todd had to come and grab the receivers and, like, look, you got to hold on to the ball. And he just looking all stupid, man. Hey, it's a guy named Coach Brown, man. He trained the boy Webster and Wiggins, man. I think the Ravens need to hire him. And also, right, I think it's going to be the same thing with the Ravens. I'm still like, the pass rusher, man. Like, what the pass rusher going to do? Like, we got to go Dr. Rush, Chuck Smith up there. We need to see them guys do something. And get these playmakers some opportunities like Tylan Wallace. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I don't want to see the same thing. Because right now, you know what I'm telling people? I don't know if the Ravens going to win the Super Bowl. I know one thing, we got a chance. That's all I'm saying. Oh, yeah, we got a chance. You know what I mean? But other than that, I don't know, man.
The wide receiver group is good. They productive last year. Why would I don't – what change the coach for?
I don't have an issue with any – I mean –
because he's not rah-rah enough.
I like this group of wide receivers. I agree with Rob. You have a little bit of everything of what you want. I don't – like, again, this isn't – I'm not sitting here telling you they got the greatest wide receiver room in the league.
Me either.
Or anything like that. But, like, they have good pieces, and I think it all fits, and it's going to mesh well this year.
It doesn't have to be the best to be a perfect room, though. It doesn't have to be the best. They got – I mean, you want to go deep, we got that.
But there's also perfect for people. You and perfect for
and
someone else.
I think it's for them. Yeah, I think it's perfect for them. They do. Because Lamar doesn't need the best receiver room in the room. And he just needs a bunch of reliable receivers.
Yeah, and that doesn't work anyway because the game's not played on paper. This team's with really good rosters like Cleveland who just – they're not very good. It just – we've seen it over and over and over. So it doesn't mean anything. It's a team game and – I just want solid at every position, and we have that. And the defense got better. I mean, Mike Green was – I like Malachi Starks a lot, but I think that Mike Green pickup is huge for them.
Mike Green was my favorite coming out of the draft. I didn't think they would draft him, so I liked Starks. Now that you got both of them, I got nothing to complain about them. I have no complaints at all. Yeah. You got both of the guys that I wanted. That's ridiculous. You got two first-rounders in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
Let's go Steve and Perry Hall. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys, good morning. Just really quickly, the only nitpicky thing about the draft, I thought, was taking Vincent, I think, in the fifth round, the project offensive tackle, where I was really hoping we'd address the defensive line, and Riley Mills from Notre Dame went right after that, and that was kind of a guy I was hoping we would get.
You know, what are your thoughts? Who was there was one guy on the Ravens who said this to us the other day that was fighting for him, that wanted Vincent, get him, please draft him, I'm telling you. Do you remember who it was?
George Warhop.
Okay, we had somebody on the show that talked about it, and you're going...
McKusick was talking about it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's interesting when somebody covets a player like that and what's going to happen, because there's nothing wrong with taking projects. If you look at his size, if you can turn him into something, you're going, well, damn, man, where you get him, it's tremendous value, because there are some guys that'll look at you and see what they think you can be.
Yeah.
You know, the NBA does this. Oh, he's got the body type.
Most of the time, the NBA does that.
So I don't have an issue with them drafting projects in the mid-rounds.
The caller was saying, he even said he's nitpicky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not a bad move. It's just nitpick to say, that's what I would have done this instead of that.
I just think there's an interesting sidebar to that, you know, he wanted him, that he's going to the front office saying, please draft this guy for me. It's like Cliff Kingsbury when he told the GM who he wanted with Washington. That offensive lineman.
Okay.
And then he hands him the slip. He's like, this is who you need to draft. And the GM started laughing because he held up the slip of paper that had that guy's name on it, and he drafted him.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I thought he was laughing. Said, dude, you're Cliff Kingsbury. So I thought he was laughing for that reason, but evidently not. We got shovels on the other side. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this morning?
Oh, a couple. Police arrested him in a St. Happened right here. They got arrested in a St. Petersburg bar after being fingered by witnesses.
Who?
What? They were what by witnesses?
Finger. You know, you point somebody out, you finger them.
Oh.
That's how I do it.
I thought it was you're going dipping into Jeremy's world of stupid.
Well, let me talk about this story.
If you have a show, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovel's next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Ed Norris will get you a shovel, man.
We got him?
Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel, Jeremy?
All right, my shovel is going to, I just lost it. This guy that got bit by a snake 700 times.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this, Ed?
Yeah, I did.
Guy, look, on purpose. Yeah, this might actually be something that I don't know if it becomes helpful to him or someone else, but I'll tell you the reason why. Guy grows a universal anti-venom in his body after injecting himself with 700 calibrated doses of deadly snake venom and taking 200 bites in his basement. So he kept having his snakes bite him over and over again to try to build up what, like an immunity to it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. And what's the flu shot? They give you a little bit of the flu?
Yeah. It just sounds like...
I won't die of a snake bite because I've been bitten too many times.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how often is he around snakes that he's got to worry about it? Like,
I don't know. And the oddest part was he was hit by a truck right after that.
Are you serious?
No. Oh,
and you know what happened? A snake was driving the truck. Can you believe that?
And who gets your shovel?
Oh, a St. Petersburg couple. They were fingered by witnesses at a bar right here up the road. Interesting. According to witnesses, Ryan Cook and his wife, Kimberly Morey, they were at Jube's Bar in downtown St. Pete, which is a great place if you haven't been there. No, I'm sure you have. Anyway, according to witness accounts, Cook placed his hand up his wife's dress and touched her private parts, which caused a disturbance and a breach of the peace. And she was charged for allowing her husband to place his hand up a dress and engage in sexual conduct the bar.
Uh-huh. Is it different if he uses your favorite finger?
I don't know if they could see that.
Oh, okay.
Because all his left was his hand.
Because I would separate them and ask them both separately, which one is her favorite finger, which one is your favorite, and see if it lines up, then maybe they're okay.
I just like the way this was written. Arrest affidavits do not identify the witness who fingered the frisky couple. So they were charged with discounting and possession of an open container of Captain Morgan. And, they were fingered by witnesses and locked up.
Nice.
A lot of people fingered in this story.
Nice.
My shovel goes to armchair coaches. So I'm riding in today and I'm listening to a host describe the end of the Celtics-Knicks game. And he criticized the Celtics big time because the Celtics ran the same play on the last two possessions of the game. And I'm thinking to myself, did you watch the third quarter when the Celtics ran the same play on five straight possessions using different options? The problem, this is what gets me with people. The problem is not the play that was called. The problem was the option that was taken by Jason Tatum. It was a good call. The block came from the help defense, meaning now that guy's open. Pass the ball. It wasn't basketball. You could call the same play 5-6 different possessions and do different things. It was not, the problem was not the play call. The problem was, what's the guy's name for Villanova? I keep forgetting his name.
Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges came over to help. So who's Mikal Bridges guarding?
So Tatum's got the best defender in the game on him. Mikal Bridges might be the next guy in line.
And he slides over to block the shot from the weak side. So dump the ball down. But no, don't call that play. Yes, call that play. Execute it better. I hate these armchair coaches, man.
Rob, like, in football, you run the same plays and then you run different sets out of those. Or, you know, you run the same set and then you run different plays out of it. The same thing in basketball. If I set up the pick and roll and all of a sudden you're going under the screen, okay.
Now I'm going over.
Now I know what you're doing. Yeah. So now I'm shooting that jump shot. Oh, you're going to try to force your way over it? Now I'm driving by you. Like, there are different things that happen. And when the defense collapses, it's up to the players to make the right decision.
Yeah, you're getting upset with the coach because the player didn't execute. It was a great play. It was a brilliant play call, even though it was the same one. You know why? Because somebody was open. Jason Tatum just didn't give it to that somebody.
This is society now. As Jeremy was talking about before, you're not going to, whatever you want to believe, that's it. How about Mikal Bridges? That was a great, that's the second straight game-ending steal. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
How about he's a good defender?
Yeah.
That didn't occur to him. You know, it was the play call. It wasn't Bridges.
I said, and you might remember this too, Ed, coming into the season, that because the same guy, Pat Boyle, was doing the show overnight. Pat said something to the effect of, when you're looking at Mikal Bridges, it doesn't matter all those first round picks they gave up to get this guy. Everybody was saying the exact opposite at the beginning of the season. Remember, he had trouble shooting. He had changed his shot up, and they said he was struggling with it. And everybody, like, 2 months into the season, like, oh my God, what a terrible trade. We gave up all those picks for him.
It's
amazing how it finishes, man. You get a block, and all of a sudden, all is forgotten. But to be fair, the Knicks being up 2-0 and going back home, this has been one of the weirdest divisional rounds of the postseason I've ever seen, because outside of the Thunder winning last night by a big margin, all the road teams have won in the first.
I would do anything to be in New York right now, just to be around the Garden if I couldn't get in. Just to be, it's going to be wild.
Mike in Baltimore has a shovel. Let's let him give his shovel real quick. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing? My shovel goes to when the Derby winner skips the Preakness and leaves on the Belmont. I mean, it's happened a couple of times in recent years. Unless the horse is, like, not, you know,
injured,
doesn't come out of the Derby well, or you know, having health problems. I mean, I don't like when they skip the Preakness, and then they end up riding in the Belmont.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's a marquee event. If you don't enter the Preakness, well, then there's no Triple Crown. So what's the point? I agree with him.
The owner said that they want to extend the horse's life because they're worried about a short career.
Yeah, maybe shouldn't run the Derby then.
I'm just telling you what he said.
I know.
on the owner, because they say, well, why if the horse gets hurt in the Derby or in the Preakness, well, then I'm out more money. So the more that they can have the horse race, and they just take one off.
Does the horse have a will so we can leave whatever he wants to his horse babies?
The horse has two options. It's either break its leg and get shot, or spend the rest of its life making babies. You know, which one are you going to pick?
Yeah, well, it's crazy. You know, they eat horse over in what, like, in Europe?
A lot of countries.
Iceland. Yeah. Iceland
they do. I'd probably eaten some horse for all I know.
Horse.
Okay.
Horse. Oh,
there's some horse in this house.
Yeah. There's some horse in this house. There's some. Yeah. Anyway, no, I was going to bring up, Ed, did you see Pamela Anderson at the Met Gala?
No.
So she's doing this thing where she's not wearing makeup anymore. And you have all these people that are like, she had a weird haircut. I'll get to it in a second. But she goes and people are like criticizing. Oh my God. What's this look about? What's that? It looks like she cut her own hair. I mean, and it is one of those weird, it looks like a, like there's a Scandinavian band out and she's the bassist on the, that's what it looks like. But it was so weird. Everybody was talking about it. It's like, oh, look at Pam Anderson. Oh, I wonder if she's doing well. She's just not wearing makeup and she cut her own damn hair.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was a good look for you or not. Like, again, I think that's the best way to describe it. Right, Joe? Scandinavian bass player in an all-female band?
She was in Bjork's band.
410-583-1057 is the number. We get stupid at 8:30 with Jeremy Cumb on the other side. Eflin will pitch this weekend, and O'Neill will be back in the lineup as well. Are you now starting to get excited? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. It's not Kyle Gibson, Jeremy. Right here on The Fan. 7:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. You know, and I guess getting all the bad news of the Baltimore Orioles, like the losing, Ed. Getting news that you're getting Zach Eflin back this weekend, and also O'Neill's going to be back in the lineup. That's good news because the people that they're replacing, they're much better than.
Oh, exponentially. Right? Not to dog the people they're replacing, but getting Zach Eflin back in particular, to me, that's huge. I mean, he's the best pitcher on the roster right now. It will be. So, I mean, and by far. So it'd be a welcome relief.
If Dean Kramer could continue to turn it around, Jeremy, you get Eflin back, then you got two solid pitchers in the rotation hoping to get another one back within the next 3 to 4 weeks, maybe. But it's great news. Like Ed said, you're getting your best pitcher back.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about that. It's obvious when people hear Eflin. I don't know if he can pitch all 5 days, but it'd be great if he could. And I'm kind of, like, honestly, I am excited to watch Kramer pitch today because the last start and hearing all, like, the weird thing about April, I don't even know if that even plays. You know, like, when you go back and look at it going, his numbers in April are god-awful, but after that, he settles down if there's something to it or not. But the Tyler O'Neill thing is interesting because they've been so bad against left-handed pitching. He hasn't been great against left-handed pitching this year. But on his career against left-handed pitching, he's got a .526 slugging. He's hit 32 bombs against it. So I feel like getting him back will help against the left-handed lineups and not make every left-hander look like Sandy Koufax.
And it also gets someone out of the lineup that shouldn't be in the lineup every day.
Correct.
That's the most important thing for me.
True.
You know what I mean? It's something called overexposure. I think one of the bad things that happens when a role player who's always been a role player plays every day, well, you think, well, he puts up good numbers in his role. Maybe you should play him every day. No, he's successful because he's a role player. I don't want – you guys know I love Ramon Arias. I don't want him to be my everyday infielder. I don't. I want Ramon Arias to be the guy that he is. I want Westberg at third. I want Jackson Holliday at second. And I want Arias there to give these guys a day off. I want him getting his – out of a 7-day period, he should have no more than 3 starts. That's what I want from Arias. I think that's when he's at his best. I don't mind Ramon Laureano. I like him better than I thought I would. I like Ramon Laureano better than I thought I would. However,
he had a weird quote after yesterday's
game. He's not one of the 3 outfielders. He's one of the 5 outfielders. Mm-hmm. What was his quote after the game?
I mean, it was just something about being in your effing brain or something. Like, you got to. He's talking about moving forward and not focusing on what's happened and trying to get that out. But it was just the way he kind of worded it. Just sounded awkward to me. He dropped an F bomb.
Can I give you a Ramon Laureano story?
Yeah.
Someone was playing music really, 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 really loud in the clubhouse. Really loud. Everybody's looking around like, oh, I'll turn the music down. Ramon Laureano sat in his locker. Look. And he just had one of these grumpy looks on his face. He gets up, storms over to it, and turns it down. I looked at him and said, you make an executive decision? That's right.
Mr. Clark, don't play.
I'm like, okay. And no one said a word.
Damn.
No one said a word. I'm like, okay. All right. Now we established the pecking order. I looked at him. I got to admit. I started looking at him different then. I'm like, okay. Yeah, he's a dude. And on top of that, on the field, he's done better, Ed, than I thought he would do.
Me too.
Including that home run yesterday.
That's the pleasant part of that. I didn't know what to think when I like him. I do.
I do.
He's got a bit of an attitude, even better.
I start liking him, but now on the field, I'm cool with that. Again, I don't think he's one of the 3 outfielders. He's one of the 5. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the quote that Jeremy said he said last night, just getting to know him, I can almost imagine where that came from, the place that it came from.
It's probably
a message that he's kind of sending to the team. Look, man, we got to move ahead. Don't get in your head right now. Let's move forward. And I think this team can get back into it if they just, you know, the Charlie Morton quotes here. Like the caller said, I agree. Charlie Morton's in his head. Is Charlie Morton still good? That remains to be seen. But I think a little bit of what's going on right now like, I think the caller was spot on. He's in his head. On your off days, you're thinking about how bad you've been. And I'm like, how about think about how good you're going to be the next start? I don't want to hear you talking about how bad you were. How about being good the next start? How about working on those things and getting better the next start? That's what I want to hear Charlie Morton talk about.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rosedale. Get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe. We are having a festival Sunday, May 18th in Little Italy. Light up Little Italy to support Little Italy, Baltimore, small businesses, and my group, Guild, Mo Gabba Foundation, Oil Advocates.
Look at that.
And how important is this month playing all under 500 teams and winning to the oil season? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too, but I know you want to comment on the May 18th.
Yeah, outside of the, all the things, Antonio calling in, his dad's trying to raise some money, trying to get Little Italy going, a lot of great restaurants down there.
Antonio is from good stock.
Yes.
His dad is the man.
And on top of it, starting a foundation that he'd like to make annual where it's giving back. I mean, we all talk about it. You experience something, pediatric cancer, MS in my family, and depression and the stuff that I'm dealing with. Yeah. And I don't want to speak for everyone. We all have something. Rob with autism, and I know you're dealing with some stuff. Lost your mom ALS. Last year. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And with ALS, you were doing so much there. Ed, your family and all the things you've given back on and all the different charities, the pediatric hospital, like all these, you get affected by certain things and it tugs on your heartstrings. Seeing these kids, I told somebody, I went to a dance party with the Allied kids and the I guess, is it a guild that his group?
Mm-hmm.
They invited me to a dance party. Can I tell you, I don't enjoy a lot of things anymore.
Did they outdance you?
No, nobody could do that.
Okay.
but I actually had girls that were coming up to me asking me to dance, and they were jealous that I was dancing with the other girls. I didn't tell Katie about it. But anyway, the whole point is, I had the best time of my life because there was nobody there with any anger, with any, like, it was just people having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, dancing like no one was watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so now doing this in Little Italy next week, I'll be down there. I'm going to go down most of Sunday, I think. And then Saturday night, we got a VIP event there that we're going to be doing at Joe Benny's. So, and if you hadn't had Joe Benny's balls, you got to try them. They're really delicious.
Yeah, I got them on my shirt.
Yeah.
Joe Benny's the man.
You got his balls on your shirt?
The meatballs.
Oh, okay.
Eli in Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, fellas. The only thing I want to hear from Charlie Morton is him talking about retirement. I want this team. I want everybody to understand.
You about to cry, Eli?
Damn.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's hard. It's hard watching this team tonight. So I'm trying.
You should have said no. I'm all out of tears.
I'm all cried out.
It's the only thing I look forward to. Like, I don't watch basketball. I just watch the O's, and like, it's kind of hard watching them catch these L's. But when Eflin come back, I just feel like we want to start, you know, putting some dubs together, and we can get two series out of this month.
I honestly think they are going to get better. It's just, did they dig themselves too deep of a hole to come out of? It's still very early.
Too early for that. Got three wild cards.
Here, let me read you Laureano's comment real quick because it was funny. We need to think positive, optimistic. Everybody has their own brain. I can't grab their brains, you know? Hey, look at this, bro. Let's bleeping go hard, you know? We've got to figure out a way to get a big fire for tomorrow. You know? You know? I can't grab their brains? Yes. I mean, I'm assuming that's a little broken English, but that's what I'm saying. It was kind of funny.
Does the NFL schedule at least move the needle for you? We're a week away from it. We'll talk about that at 8:15, but on the other side, would firing the hitting coach or coaches really do anything other than appease this fan base? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Went on for a while. You know, if you just look at our offensive numbers, there's a lot of guys struggling or not being where, you know, they hope they'd be.
You know, whenever we have an issue with something, you want answers, you want solutions. The Orioles as a team, they're not hitting. My problem is this. When we talked about our pitching, you brought up a couple of pitchers who are past their prime. I'm not blaming a pitching coach for that. You look at what a guy like Dean Kramer is doing. He's working on his stuff. He's improving with each start. That's pitching coach. But when you have a guy past their prime that just doesn't have it anymore, it's not the pitching coach. It's the cat just doesn't have it. My fear, my problem with the hitters is you have hitters who are still good, productive hitters. Why aren't they producing? That makes me look at the hitting coach, Ed.
I guess. I mean, this is a logical place to go when guys aren't hitting. I don't know. It's just weird that everyone's falling off the page kind of at the same time, except the veterans. I know you point to Mullins' recent struggles. He's still leading the team in RBIs and on-base percentage. But it's just – it's frustrating. It just is. I mean, everyone's going to point that hitting coach down. I guarantee you in a – I'm sure we've gotten calls already about this. Like, oh, it's got to be the hitting coach. It's either the hitting coach or the trainer or somebody when there's injuries. Sometimes it's bad luck, man. I find it hard to believe that it's anybody's fault that all these guys got hurt.
If it hurt, yes. I don't believe it's anybody's fault for that. But when you have that many hitters looking lost, Jeremy, I mean, if hitting coaches weren't important, then why do you have them? If they didn't mean something positive for people, why do you have them?
Well, I think you have it's not teaching the guys how to hit. I think their job is basically to watch those guys and see if anything is off.
That's my point, yeah.
And the whole point of firing hitting and pitching coaches, like I believe pitching coaches can have a greater impact just because of how you're working with these guys, where you set them up on the rubber. Are you watching? Are they tipping pitches? Are they learning new pitches? Are you telling them, hey, this isn't the type of pitch you should be throwing? Like when we look at switch hitters, you'll see a guy that can't hit from one side and then he's like, all right, well, Cedric Mullins, I'm just a left-handed hitter now. With pitchers, what if you have a pitch that's not working and you keep throwing it? I mean, Charlie Morton was talking about, you know, his cutter and his curveball and all these other things. But I just don't get it, man. Like, if you look at this team, you can honestly see there's a bunch of things that went awry. I even just read somebody said, oh, what a swing and a miss drafting Adley over Bobby Witt. You guys realize if you draft Bobby Witt, you're not getting
Gunnar Henderson. That's what they had in mind. Okay. Speaking of Gunnar Henderson, he's starting to climb out of it. Adley Rutschman is struggling. Mountcastle's struggling. You got multiple guys that haven't reached their prime yet. Good players. Before he got injured, Westberg was struggling. And like you said, it's not their job to teach them how to hit, but it is their job to observe and help them not prolong slumps. But you have too many prolonged slumps on this baseball
team. I believe the hitting coach is the guy that ultimately falls on the sword when things are going wrong and you fire that guy. And why do you fire him? It's almost like it's like a coach getting a technical, right? You're trying to get their attention. Guys, look at what's going on. This, whether it's the refs or you're trying to get your players' attention, You go get a technical. Like somebody had said, hey, that skirmish that they had with the Yankees when everybody went out and shook hands and hugged at second base with Kierstead. F it, throw a punch, man. Like, show some life. I mean, I'm kind of kidding. No, but like something. Get kicked out of the damn game. Go off on an ump when you get a horrific call. I mean, it's been a combination of bad things going on, poor play, injuries, guys that shouldn't be playing. And at times it seems lifeless. I still can't explain how they're this bad against left. I mean, this is historically bad against left-handed pitching.
And again, for the whole team to be bad at it, it's, you know, if the hitting coach is not important, then why do we have him? I'm still going to ask that question.
Look at the change that Holiday made without that, you know, the big step into the bucket, where now he just takes, you know, slides his foot. Made a big difference. And that was from coaching. That was his father and the hitting coaches changed that because he had that big step first and doesn't do it anymore. But that's what they're there for. They watch you. They watch film. They go over with you. And then they try to, you know, pick out flaws in what's going on.
Exactly. That's what they're there. You're right. At this point in your life, you know how to hit. Or else you wouldn't be here.
Of course.
It's my job to make, like anything else, everybody has a coach. If you don't have a coach in whatever you're doing, then I feel bad for you. Everybody has a coach, and they're there to point out things, remind you sometimes of who you – hey, look, get back to what you used to do. Remember we used to do this? And when you have all these hitters looking out of sync, not making proper adjustments, I'm sorry. Someone has to take the blame for that. Let's go to Jeff in Parkville. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
Rob, hear me out now. I feel like it's the mental approach to the guys when they step in the batter's box.
Okay.
They seem to be more individuals than as a team. They don't spread the ball around. They seem like everybody wants to hit a home run. That's it.
I'm going to go to an at-bat, and that's a popular comment that I disagree with big time. And I'll go to at-bat last night, Rivera. Rivera, I think he worked it to a full count. Ball was on the outside part of the plate. Where did he get his base hit? He just put the bat on the ball, went to right field. So he put the bat on the ball and went right to right field, shot it between the first baseman and the second baseman. My question to you all who say this is this. How much baseball outside of the Orioles do you watch? Hell, how much of the other team do you watch when you're watching the Orioles? It's like you read something from Rudy Gay. What did Rudy Gay say about basketball?
Nowadays, I'm not sure anybody knows what to do inside the three-point line.
Because everybody, that's what basketball is. So if you are a fan of a certain team and you say, I'm tired of my team always shooting threes. Hello? That's the entire league. What he just said about the Orioles, that's baseball. That's why nobody baseball told you that when they said, we're not looking at batting averages anymore. We're looking at OPS. What's in OPS? Slugging. They value extra base hits over singles now. That's why they went to OPS. Some stadiums, I don't know if you noticed, Ed, some stadiums on the scoreboard when they show the hitter, they only show OPS. They don't show batting averages anymore.
No, they're trying to train the fan base too.
Exactly.
Because this, you know, the first thing people look at, I've been watching baseball for a long time. You get that's all they cared about. You talk to people, you know, batting averages and earned run averages.
Yeah.
And actually wins and losses.
Yeah.
More.
Yep.
And we got away from that. And now it's important because the extra base hits matter.
That's why they go OPS. So what he said, that's baseball. But there are times, and again, you saw it last night with Rivera. Full count, runner on. And all they tried to go to the outside part of the plate. Hopefully he rolled it over. He just basically put the bat on the ball and shot it to the opposite field because of the situation. Less than two strikes, they may swing for the fences because the game has changed where no one cares about singles anymore. They care about on base and slugging.
In fact, would you rather have a 290 singles hitter or a 270, you know, guy who drives it to the gap?
I want that 270 guy. Well, I'll take the 250 guy who drives it to the gap.
What did I point out to you? Rob and I were talking about Jazz Chisholm, and I said, damn, man. What did he have, like seven home runs and he was hitting like 170?
Yeah, and you said also
He walked 18 times.
I said, what is his OPS? Round seven? And you looked at, seven something.
A guy that's hitting 170 and he's got an OPS over 700.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it doesn't seem like it even makes sense.
Because he hits home runs, doubles, and walks.
Felt like Adam Dunn.
He is Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Look at Kyle Schwarber's batting average.
Absolutely.
And he's batting leadoff most of the time.
Well, they've dropped him now, and I don't know if they're going to put him back in the leadoff spot. Who did they put up there?
He's not batting below fourth, I bet.
I think they moved Bryson Stott up top, if I remember correctly.
He's still batting in the top four?
But they batted him leadoff, and they have Trey Turner on their team.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? I mean, Trey Turner, it was your prototypical leadoff hitter.
For the way it used to be.
Speed.
But now they value extra base hits. I'm sorry.
And
that's
on
baseball.
Base.
Yeah.
Like, the only difference between a walk and a hit is if you have somebody on base. You know, you have the opportunity to score a run and move guys up. Now, if it's first and second, you get walked. Yeah, you're moving guys up. It works the same way. So why not include that? Because it's an important piece to it.
Eric in Baltimore. What's up, Eric?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I'd just like to bring up Mike Elias and some of the players that he's drafted. He's drafted quite a few position players, and he doesn't seem to be drafting pitchers.
That came up before, Eric, and somebody asked me on Facebook when I asked, what questions do you want to hear from Mike Elias? They said, are you drafting any pitchers early? And then he asked me that the day after, and I wish I would have gotten that question before because I would have asked him. They have not drafted a lot of pitchers early in the draft. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, he may have addressed that last year and said that they wanted to look to that, but they have not drafted a lot of pitchers early.
My problem, or at least not a problem, like I know everybody's been talking about this. When you go back to 2020 in the pandemic year, that was one of the weakest pitcher drafts that we've had, right? I think it was 2020. And then they took like 50. Did they draft a pitcher? Their first 15 picks were like all hitters.
Well, 2020 was the short draft because of the pandemic. I think they only did 10 rounds.
So maybe it was the year after that then I'm thinking of. But, or no, maybe it was that year and they just drafted 10 hitters. Yeah. They didn't draft any pitchers. But the point of it is, like, I don't want them going, oh man, it's the fourth round and we haven't taken a pitcher. We got to take a pitcher. Take the best player. You know how long these damn drafts are? Taking a guy in the 15th round or the 32nd? You know, like, put that on TV and see how many people are watching on day 8. I mean, it doesn't go that long, but you get my point. Like, draft the best players available. And we had that Andy McPhail thing where it's like, grow the arms, buy the bats. And you kind of understand it because what were we saying about pitchers? That going out and paying for them on the free agent market, usually it doesn't work out if your name's not Max Scherzer to those long-term deals.
I think they got one pitcher that year, Jeremy, in the fifth round. Carter Baumler.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at it. I didn't figure that out on my own.
Well, they've definitely had some drafts that were like heavy hitters, but I think that's because of their evaluation.
That was a Kobe Mayo draft, fourth round. Mm. Picked number 103 overall.
Wow.
410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rocco Bacco joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Gronk revealed he was almost drafted by the Ravens back in 2011. Remember who we got instead? Yeah, I do. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.